wanted to share with combat those lies, and also some different strategies that God has taught me through his word about combating those lies in our lives. And in no way do I want this to be a hammer on people, but more as of an encouragement in their lives. And that's what I believe God wants us to do too, is he wants to encourage us and work through our sin with us. And so I'm just going to teach you what I've learned today. Let's just start with prayer. Dear God, we just thank you for your word, Lord. And I just pray that you'd speak through me today, God. Just humbly come before you, and we love you, Lord, and we just thank you for your word. And please teach us from it today. Amen. So I'm sure all of us have probably been in a situation where we've sinned, and maybe we've done it again. Maybe it's something that we're stuck on. And we're not the only ones. You know, there's people in the Bible, and there's also a lot of famous people that have been stuck in those situations as well. One of the people that I think of is Tiger Woods. One of the greatest golfers of all time. He set so many records in the number of tournament wins, records in the amount of money won in a year, up until about 2009. In 2009, he was caught cheating on his wife, and he believed that because of his fame, that he didn't have to follow the same rules that everybody else did. And he actually, when he can kind of confess on TV or on the internet, he said, you know, I believed that I didn't have to follow the rules that everybody else had to follow in life. And that was a total lie that he was believing. Another person from the Bible that comes to mind instantly as I thought of Tiger Woods was King David. King David, most of us know, he decided to have an affair with Bathsheba, which he knew was wrong, but he did it anyway. And then he tried to cover it up, and he killed her husband. So, and it led to the, you know, splitting up of the kingdoms. It led to a lot of hurt. Some people, I heard someone tell me once, well, you know, God blessed David. You know, he it says in the Bible that David was a man after God's own heart, and he was, but there was a lot of consequences that came from David's sin. He did repent of it, but there was consequences. So I want to talk about some different lies these are some lies that I've believed, and I think maybe some of you guys have believed these type of lies too. So lie number one, I can hide my sin, and if I do, it won't hurt me, and it's not going to hurt anyone else. This is one of the simplest lies that we believe in our lives. Numbers 32, verse 23, says, "Behold, you've sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." This just, it's very, very blatant. It says we can't hide our sin. Our sin is going to come out eventually, just like it did with David, just like it did with Tiger Woods. That sin, it built up in their lives, and it was exposed. So we can't hide our sin. So that lie, we can't believe that lie. Not clicking. Can you click to the next slide? What's that? Swap the battery out. Triple A's, yeah. We'll be 2 seconds here. 1 second. Mm-hmm.
Phil.
You have to turn on slideshow mode.
Sorry about that. Got it fixed, I think.
When I was, hey Connor, can you turn the screen so I can see it there? When I was a kid working in a repair shop, this guy brought a truck in and he wanted us to rebuild, he wanted the mechanic to rebuild the engine, and it was all worn out, and he had ordered his own pistons and he brought them in, and the mechanic knew that the pistons were wrong, and he knew that they weren't, everything was wrong about it, but he decided he would take a cylinder hone and he'd make the cylinders bigger just a little bit to make them fit. And he knew he shouldn't have done it, but he was like, oh, I'm just going to do it anyway. It'll probably all work out. And at the end of the day, the engine went back into the truck and it hardly ran. It ran like a 1920 tractor. It was the worst engine I've ever seen run. The guy was mad. I think we had to give him his money back. I don't know what he ended up doing. It was a really, really bad situation. But this guy knew what he was doing was wrong. He tried to hide it. He tried to kind of cover it up, but it ended up going very badly for him. Just, can you click ahead?
It has nothing to do with the display. It's not connecting with the carbon.
It's okay. I've got a backup. Okay, so if you guys want to turn with me, 1 Peter 2:11 is the next verse we're going to talk about. 1 Peter 2:11. First Peter 2:11 says, "Behold, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against our soul." I don't know if all of us sometimes think about what sin does in our life. It's maybe just something we do and we're forgiven of it and it's not a big deal. But when we don't deal with sin in our life, this verse says that it wages war against our soul. And I don't think, when this verse was pointed out to me, I was like, wow, you know, me dealing with sin in my life is not just, it's actually attacking me from the inside. I don't know if any of you guys have ever seen the Alien movies, but in the Alien movies, this alien crawls inside, and then it kills the guy, and for a little while, it seems like he's fine, and then the alien bursts out of his tummy, and he's dead, right? And I guess that's what I think of when I think of this sin in my life. It's like, it's attacking me from the inside, and we need to deal with it. Line number two I wanted to talk about is, I'm forgiven, so I'll just keep repenting and avoid the consequences. I think over the years, one of the verses I've thought of is, when I think it's Peter asked Jesus, or one of the disciples asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive my neighbor? And he says 70 times 7, and I'm like, awesome, I've got at least 490 times I can do this and get away with it. That's something that I actually thought of when I was a kid. I'm like, man, I've got lots of room here. I've got a pretty big buffer zone. Romans 6:1-2, if you guys want to turn with me there. Which says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to our sin still live in it? The idea of dying to that sin in our life is a very important concept that we need to understand. To think that we can just keep repeating those sins over and over again, I believe that is evidence that we have not died in that area of our life. We have not died to sin in that area of our life, and we aren't surrendering that area of our life to God. Another great verse that I really like is 2 Timothy 2. 20 to 21, which says, if you guys want to turn with me there, 2 Timothy 2, 20 to 21. Now, you want me to try it now? No? Okay. 2 Timothy 2, 20 to 21. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself of these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. This verse, I believe, is teaching us that, you know, God can use us more. He can do more in our lives when we surrender more over to him. If we choose to have sin in our life that is not dealt with, that we are not dealing with, that we are not surrendering over to him, it is going to prevent him from using us as powerfully in our lives. I think of Billy Graham. How many times did you guys hear about all the scandals with Billy Graham? There weren't very many scandals with Billy Graham, were there? Billy Graham didn't have a lot. Anyone heard of Jimmy Swaggart? We all have heard of Jimmy Swaggart. Unfortunately, I mean, he had a very powerful ministry as well, but his ministry wasn't as significant if people were to come up with some of the great evangelists of our time. Jimmy Swaggart might not be in the list of the top people because of some of the indiscretions that he had, not just once, but multiple times. I believe that those things, that the sin that was in his life prevented him from being as effective. Line number three, I am strong enough not to sin on my own. Yep. Oh, look at this. Cool. Nope. Yeah, you thought you had it figured out. I just won't touch anything. I'm going to turn this off. Okay. You can click through? Perfect. Okay. This is bad. This becomes a pride issue, I think, in our lives where we think, you know, we're strong enough, I'm good enough, I'm holy enough, I can deal with this on my own. And we forget that without God, we can do nothing. So 2 Chronicles 26, 16, if you guys want to turn there, is a great example. 2 Chronicles 26. This is talking about King Uzziah, and King Uzziah had become powerful. He made machines of war, it says in the Bible, that he became very mighty. Verse 16 says, when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to his God. And that can be a real pitfall for us if we become prideful and decide, you know, I can do this on my own. I don't need God anymore. Maybe God has gotten you to a place where you're feeling pretty good about yourself. And now you think, yeah, you know, I'm good. I'll let you know, God, if I need help. But we need God all the time. If you guys want to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10:13, this is one of my favorite verses. And it says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you are able to endure it. So that verse teaches us that God is there to help us through those temptations, and he is giving us a way of escape. It is not us that is coming up with this amazing plan of escape. It's actually God. He is providing it for us in every situation. And we have to take that. We have to take that help from God. But when we start trying to do these things on our own, we're in trouble. Jude 1:24. Another awesome verse. I love this verse as well. Jude 1:24, which says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling," it doesn't say, if you're having trouble because you've tried on your own, maybe you should turn to God now. It says, "To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy." God is able to help us from stumbling. We just can't. We just can't do this on our own. We can't fight this battle on our own. So I wanted to talk about some different strategies to combat the lies in our lives. So I'm going to talk about four different strategies today. Number one, and we've kind of already talked about this, but stop doing it on your own and ask God for help. Acts 3:19, if you guys want to turn with me there. Acts 3:19. It says, "Therefore repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." We need to stop trying to do this on our own. We need to return to God. We need to ask him for help. He wants to give us refreshing. Another verse is about this is Matthew 7:7-8. Which says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open." If we want help in our lives with dealing with a sin, we need to go to God. We need to say, "God, you know, why am I stuck here? Why do I keep doing this? Where do you want me to what do you want me to read?" Someone else taught me this is, you know, to pray and ask God, "How, you know, what do you want to teach me from your word?" And praying, listening to God, being in silence, and then reading his word. And God has shown me a lot of cool verses. Nothing on my page glows or anything, but I've definitely felt, you know, the presence of God directing me to certain passages where I'm like, "Man, I'm studying this," and suddenly I'm like, "Oh, I should read in this area," and I find another verse that supports what God is trying to teach me. So, if you're struggling with something, stop trying to do it on your own. Ask God for help. Number two, combat the lies with truth. With truth, Psalm 119, verse 11. This is one of the verses I think I learned when I was really young. Psalm 119, 11, I pulled this from the NIV because I like this version better. It says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." It's such a simple principle. If we've got an area of our life and we've gone to God and we've said, "God, how can you work on this area? How can you work on this area of my life? What's a lie I'm believing that's leading me to do this? To sin again in this area of my life?" And if he shows you a verse, then write it down. Memorize it. Have that verse as part of your life. So when that sin comes up again, or that temptation comes up again, you can recite that verse, and you can combat that lie with God's word, which is truth. And his word says to do that. Another great verse about this is Ephesians 6:10-12, which most of you guys probably know. It's a very often quoted verse. The armor of God. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, and put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." And then it goes through and talks about these different pieces of armor. And it says, and verse 17 goes on to say, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So we have to remember that when we're battling this sin, it is not us on our own that need to do this. It's not me just needing to be more resolve and being able to just
choose not to do it. I have to go to God and I got to say, God, help me through this. Help me battle this. This is a spiritual battle in our lives. This sin is something that wages war against our soul, and we need to battle this. We need to battle this sin with God. And he's saying that, you know, his word in our lives is something we can use to battle that. Number three strategy, don't keep it a secret. Don't keep it to yourself. James 5:16. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. God wants us to come to him with our sins, with our struggles, but he also wants us to find people that we can confess to, that we can talk to. When we keep things in our lives secret, when we try to keep it to ourselves, it gives Satan extra power over us in those areas of our lives. But when we stop keeping it a secret, when we put it out there, then this could be scary. I mean, I would say try to find somebody that you trust, that you can talk to, maybe a mentor, maybe a really good friend that you trust, or your pastor, but go to someone and say, hey, you know, I'm struggling with this. And God, you know, he has put people in our lives that we can go to. He obviously wants us to come to him first, but then also we should be confessing it to other people so that it's not a secret. When things are kept secret, as we've learned, it hurts us. It wages war against our soul, so don't keep it a secret. Another verse that talks about this is Proverbs 28:13. You guys want to turn with me there? Proverbs 28:13. Which says, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses them and forsakes them will find compassion. I think when we have sin in our lives, especially as Christians, sometimes we think that people are going to be very judgmental of us. I know I've thought that in the past. That maybe we're not going to be accepted if I just decide to talk to Darren about something I'm struggling with. Maybe he's going to judge me. Maybe he's going to tell someone else. Maybe he's going to tell his wife, and his wife's going to post it on Facebook. And no, I'm just kidding. But sometimes we have those fears that, and Satan wants to use those things against us. He wants us to be afraid to confess. If he can convince us to keep things a secret, well, then he's got power over us in that area of our life. And number four strategy is remember that we are victorious in Christ. Romans 8:1. Wonderful, wonderful verse. Which says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Satan wants us to feel discouraged. He wants us to feel defeated. But God, you know, God, the word is so full of encouragement. It teaches us that God wants to refresh us. He wants to forgive us. He wants us to know that there is no condemnation when we have chosen to follow Christ in our lives. And that's an awesome thing. And another great verse is Romans 8:37, which says, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, to summarize, we just have to remember that, you know, we're already victorious. That verse I talked about in Jude 1:24, it says, you know, we have a God that he wants to keep us. He can keep us from stumbling, and he presents us as blameless before our God. That's how he views us. And sometimes it's tough for us to view ourselves that way. But that's how God views us. And that's what I'd like to close with is, you know, God loves us so much. He's there to help us. We got to turn to him and allow him to help us. So as a quick summary, sin combat. Number one, stop doing it on your own and ask God for help. Number two, combat the lies with truth. Memorize that word. Write it down. Put it on a sticky note on the dash of your truck. Do whatever you have to do, but keep that verse there so you can combat those lies when those lies, when the Satan, the father of lies, comes to you and to tempt you to sin. Well, combat those lies with truth. Number three, don't keep it a secret. Talk to God about it. Talk to someone else that you trust about it. Confess those sins. And number four, remember we are victorious in Christ who loved us so much. And that's the end of my sermon today. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mr. Cram. I invite you to stand and join us for our closing worship song.
Brought me.